Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Now, before a tragic incident happens, like what we saw just recently with Little Chris, you know Little Chris? And not too long ago also, Simone Battle, X Factor star. These people now, young adults, going through depression. Did you know that depression is something that is at an all-time high? You have close to 20% of high school students are seriously considering suicide. And that suicide is the second leading cause of death between the ages of 10 and 24. Now, we thought that this was just among adults, this deep depression and despair. But now it's leading over to the youth. So how can we prevent someone from jumping off a bridge, from Zayn Malik leaving the band, and then you got your daughters starting to joining the hashtag, cut for Zayn. We want to nip it in the bud early. That's why experts tell us that from the ages now, when the kids are born, 4, 5, 6, start really getting these parenting skills, getting the tips that are needed so we can go ahead and be responsible parents, so then we can have responsible adults growing up who can be an asset to society instead of a detriment to themselves and society. With my next guest here on the Dean Show, don't go anywhere. We're going to be covering this very important topic. Be right back.
This is
Have you heard of Lil Wayne?
Yes, Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne, I meant Lil Chris. There's Lil Wayne, he's still alive.
They're both rappers.
He's still rapping. He didn't quit
the lifestyle,
no?
Okay. Not at all.
What about you heard of Lil Chris?
Of course.
This event that happened now. And then I mentioned another famous celebrity. A lot of famous celebrities now. I mentioned this because now some people are like, Eddie, why do you have fascination with some of these celebrities? It's not that. It's that we're creatures of imitation. And our youth, a lot of times, and even adults, we mimic a lot of the celebrities that are out there, and we see that, you know, the happiness is not there.
Right.
So to prevent a lot of these things from happening, how can we gain benefit? So what are some of the things now that you, in your experience, that you've seen? I've labeled the suicide, the depression on the rise, really, and we're not immune to it also as Muslims. This has really hit home. You've seen some of these things happen, jail, kids ending up in jail, and what else?
Indeed. Well, you know, the interesting thing, obviously, when you look at Islam, we have this inner source of peace, if you will. For those who study Islam, who are open to it and keeping their hearts open, and as a parent, we fear a lot of these same ills that are massive and rampant throughout society affect our children. Like, I've seen Muslim children, we're not immune from any of those things, whether it be going to jail, even as teenagers, going to jail as Muslims, not going to jail then becoming Muslim, but actually being raised in a Muslim household, becoming incarcerated for some heinous crimes. The same thing when it comes to drugs, alcohol, denouncing Islam, totally just saying, you know what, I don't believe in it. You know, raising a Muslim household. And the interesting thing is that many times as parents, we tend to feel we're doing our best or our parenting is good or we're immune from a lot of challenges of society because we're Muslims and we have the truth of Islam, when that's actually not the case.
Now, this has become something that's just soaring seems out of control, like same here at home, where you think now, okay, now I'm Muslim, I'm getting, myself together with Islam, but then I'm not developing the proper skills, because you might come from a culture now that you think how I raised my children 30, 40, you know, how I was raised 30, 40 years ago, now in this culture, I'm going to go ahead and implement these things here, and it seems to backfire.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the world 30, 40 years ago, just in the advancement of technology and how so much fitness now at our fingertips, literally, not even a click, but just a touch, right? The internet is now with us at any moment. Or think about it, how many children know the internet better than their parents even know it? You know what I'm saying? So what may have worked for me when I was younger would not necessarily work for the children today. And then that would also assume that I was raised with great parents and great parenting skills. You know, so if you are, for example, obviously we live in the West, many people are immigrants to the West and they're first generation. So their children are first generation born here, but they don't know the landscape. They might know back home if they're Desi in Pakistan or India or in Jordan or throughout the Arab world or the Middle East or North Africa, but this is new to them. This is the new landscape. Or on the flip side is you have a person who accepted Islam or converted, like myself, born and raised here, but then accept Islam. And I know the history of this country and the landscape of this country and how to maneuver better than someone who's brand new, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and with our children, the challenge comes in when we decide to proactively parent, when we actually look at our parenting, see what our skills are, what our goals are for our children, and do something about it. Because it's one thing to just get advice. People say, you know, you should be patient, be loving, provide them a great Islamic education, send them to an Islamic school, and they'll be fine. Just make dua for them. Okay? Advice is okay. However, I need something that's practical. How do I deal with a situation when there are boys and girls, for example, and they're coming of age and hormones are not going? You know, what do I do about Snapchat app that children are likely familiar with? I mean, you ask your child to have a Snapchat account and why, you know, you can check their phones. They may have it or they may just hide it from you. You know, Snapchat is kind of the new sexting app, if you will. You know, because the children believe or people believe that you can utilize the app and then your information disappears no matter what you send. Okay, so whether it be that or Instagram, which I know Dean Show just started a new Instagram account and enjoying the social media revolution, really getting Dean information out there, but how many are using it for negative purposes? You know, my question as a parent is, how many lives I have right now at the time, if I count my children and their ages, I have four beautiful daughters, four beautiful sons, another son on the way, and two stepchildren. So I have a big family, and they range from different ages from 19 years old all the way down to two. So I have a college student all the way down to a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I'm in ages, you know, there are different needs and different ages from teenagers all the way on down. But the question is, when do children start forming their personality and start paying attention to different things going on in society? How can mm-hmm. we pay attention to that as parents?
We know it's incumbent in the dean to constantly to be seeking knowledge. So you have the doctor, the realtor, you know, the typical professional, he seeks a continuing education to excel in his field.
Absolutely.
Is this where we need to now do some sort of continuing education to enhance our parenting skills?
I believe that's imperative. Allah Ta'ala ordered this in Quran, Allah Ta'ala in Surah Tahrim, the sixth ayah, in translation, where Allah Ta'ala says, oh, you believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire whose fuel is men and stone. Then it goes on. But to save yourself, this is a command from Allah Ta'ala. So we have to do what we can. And we must remember that the Prophet ﷺ let us know that three things will follow us after our death. You know, and to skip to the third is the righteous child that prays for you. The key word is a righteous child. They're not righteous, not going to benefit you. You know, so we have this command from Allah Ta'ala. And the promise of the Prophet ﷺ, of course, it's imperative on us. Because no matter how much risk or how much money we make when it comes to being a realtor or a physician and all the rest of this, and we have all the toys, the toys aren't what's going to eventually save you. That's not what Allah Ta'ala values. And to think about it, just as you open the show, you mentioned these suicide of people who are millionaires. Well, to me, they have all the toys, all the things around them, but they have this emptiness inside. And alhamdulillah, we know that Islam feels that. So we'll go into, inshallah Ta'ala, some different techniques to look for and to look at. But ultimately, we have to decide to be proactive parents to make sure our skills are just as keen as outside skills for a job or a career or for our physical health. Because again, this is a path to Jannah. And Allah Ta'ala has given us these children as an amana, so we must fulfill that trust.
With that trust, we're gonna be right back so we can empower the youth at a young age so they don't end up thinking about suicide, let alone committing it or ending up in jail or any other thing that will end up not benefiting them, us, or society. We'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, you have a lot of parents who will come to the imam, to the sheikh, to someone who's qualified to give advice. And now, once the ship has sailed, they'll come and they'll say, can you fix my child? Can you say something? And they think that, okay, I'm going to say some magic words, some dua, and all of a sudden he's going to be an A student. Have you witnessed this?
Unfortunately, too many times. Mm-hmm. What it comes to is a parent has lost influence. And what I suggest and what we teach, obviously, the Outstanding Muslim Parents is that we have to utilize our influence and our roles effectively. For example, when our children are born, they're newborns, they look up to the parents. We're all they have. We're their best friends. We're everything for them. Right? They look up to us. What we do, they imitate. When we offer salat, they're trying to offer salat with us. And all of these different things, and we get happy about it. We have huge influence. And if you look at it like a circle, when our children are young, we have this big circle of influence. The parents are the most influential. And we consider that one of the three C's, or what I call the celebrity. They look up to us as parents as celebrities. So first, we have to be that role model. Okay? As children get older, that sphere of influence increases. Now they meet different uncles, aunts, grandparents, friends, different society. Once they get into television, internet, then it's the media. So this sphere of influence grows. However, if the parent hasn't went deep or dug into their child, touched their hearts, then the parent's influence tends to shrink. So that's when they go to a sheikh or someone else and say, come talk to this child. Now that happened to me when I was younger. So before I'd accepted Islam, people say, hey, you know, you need to talk to this boy. He's on the wrong path. And I was raising Christian school, kindergarten and 10th grade. I saw more drugs going on there, more sexual and illicit relationships going on inside this Christian school where parents were thinking that, you know, they were giving a high quality of education and their children would be righteous when it was the exact opposite. Unfortunately, this same type of thinking is going on with Muslim parents. They think, hey, if I send them to an Islamic school, hey, they'll come out okay. Like as though we're putting them in an assembly line on one end and they just pop out these ideal Muslim citizens, which again isn't the case. So when it comes to influence, as parents, we have to know how to touch their hearts. We have to go deep. We have to love them. But at the same time, we have to make sure we are being these practicing Muslims that we want our children to be. So if you're not offering salat, it's kind of hard to tell your child to offer salat.
Yes.
You know, being that celebrity. So we have to lead by example first. Then we could have to find out when to go strong with them, as in developing their insights. What are they liking? What are their likes? You know, it's not haram for them to get involved with sports, to do something physical. But at the same time, we have to be feeding their mind on, hey, I'm a Muslim. We have to build up their Islamic identity. See, the only reason I wear a kufi is because I was learning Islam earlier. The kufi is even from Islam. However, it's associated with being Muslim. The only reason I wear it is really in solidarity with our sisters who have to wear the khimar when they go out and have to be covered properly so that they know there's a Muslim around if they need some type of help. Or when other people are asking to have my beard, I'm Muslim. You know, Nate, are you Muslim? Yeah, you know, that's one of the ways they recognize me. Not, again, that it even has anything to do with Islam because it was worn prior to. But that Islamic identity, the Muslim identity, I want to be an example for my children on who we are. Because obviously when they look up to celebrities, whether it be the Zayn Malik cut for Zayn or what have you, they're looking up to someone to emulate. But they don't know their feelings or their thoughts or their concepts. All they see is this public persona that puts out, just like DC Comics coming up with their gay superhero. Like, why would sexuality have anything to do with these superheroes and these stories they're putting in their children other than to program and propagate propaganda? So we as parents have to be aware of this. It's not something that's just, oh, they're just little kids right now. The more we think they're little kids right now and they're not processing and their brain neurons aren't firing off, the more we're doing a disservice. And on the negative side, we're now, as our children grow older and they don't want to offer salat, they don't want to do these Islamic things or think that's uncool, we begin to look at our parenting and say, you know, I should have done better, could have done better, but, and insert any excuse that you wish.
One part of continuing education for me is sometimes connecting and talking to some of the youth to see some of the challenges, and you just get blown away sometimes when they tell you some of the stories. And they'll open up, they feel comfortable, right, and they'll tell you really, you know, because you kind of get isolated doing your own thing and you get disconnected, but then you get reconnected with the youth. So is that one of the things, really having an open communication with your children that they can come to you, they trust you, not that every time they want to come to you and just say, this is haram, this, not with explaining it and, you know, really harsh with them and not having this openness that you can communicate effectively.
Well, alhamdulillah, the great part is mothers are more emotionally balanced to be able to deal with the children. And face to fact, when they're younger, mothers are the ones who are around the children more often than not. Okay, so being able to come to them and being more approachable as a mother is huge. Of course, as a father, it is as well. But usually children go to the mother, you know, in general, generally speaking. Now, of course, you have to be approachable. If you're not approachable, they're going to go find find it somewhere else. Find somebody who's lending an ear. We don't know what their intentions are. It could be some boy. You have a daughter, but it's some boy that's willing to lend an ear and tell her how beautiful she is and how this is okay and so on and so forth. So the main thing is communication. That's that second C, or that confidant. We have to teach your children how to be able to read between the lines, because you have to teach them. If you see a commercial coming on, I saw a commercial during the Super Bowl a few years ago, and or playoffs or something, and it was a Pepsi commercial, a soda commercial. But during the soda commercial, they showed tanks, and they showed these soldiers just throwing different cases, and they showed people at home, and they're all smiling, and they're wearing the red, white, and blue, and all of this conditioning in a matter of a 30-second commercial. And I asked my children, you know, what was that about? And I heard their opinions. I said, you know, really it's about programming and what's going on in the Middle East and the Muslim world and how we need to support our troops and so on and so forth, because that, in my opinion, was the message they were sending with this little tidbit, as though it's happy, it's fine, support your team, enjoy Pepsi, and look at what we're doing in the Middle East for our soldiers. So to get you riled up in these emotions, we have to be smart enough as parents to help our children read between the lines so that they'll come to us when they have questions and they'll trust our insight. Because at first they may not believe you when you tell them what's going on in the real world, because we're in this Muslim bubble, if you will. But as they meet more people and as their circle of influence grows and they may go to school or college, they come across people, they come across things that will shock them. And we can't shelter our children from that. We just prepare them Islamically, because the world is the world. There's beauty in it. There's ugliness in it. We have to do what we can to make sure that foundation is strong and they're strong with their Muslim personality, know that the source of true peace and success is Islam. And there are methods and ways with which to do that, inshallah.
We can give some tangible steps, some tangible things that people can leave off of the program, and then also you have some of your materials. But before when we come back from break, you give us some more tangible things that they can leave with after the show. Good? Okay, we'll be right back for more here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. So much to cover. We're just giving some tidbits so we can nib it, as I said, in the bud, so we can help prevent the children from falling into becoming despondent, into despair, suicide, drugs, promiscuity, immorality, insanity. Parenting the right way from an early age. And you have so much, I mean, there's just so much going on out there. And the parent says, look, guys, I you know, work two jobs. My wife's working. We come home now. We're fried. And they just put the TV on and the kid's sitting next to the TV and just till he falls asleep, maybe get some homework done. I gotta get paid.
bills to pay. It goes to values and priorities.
What do you say?
And these days, it's not even necessarily TV. You can just throw Netflix on, stream something on TV or the internet. You know what I want to talk about though, because I ask people, say, you know, I'm going on a Dean Show. What would you like me to discuss? And one was really discipline. You know, they talked about stubbornness and a lot of different things. But one is discipline, and it's very important that we understand discipline. Discipline is really twofold, because Islam is discipline. When we think of Islam, we pray five times a day. We know when we have to pray. Mm-hmm. We know what we have to say in each rak'ah, right? We know how to fast, what suhoor is, what time we begin the fast, what time we rush for iftar. We know all of these things. We know hajj is not easy, but Islam is discipline, right? There are things that we can do, things that we're not to do, and so on. So we have this system in place. And similarly, with discipline, we have to understand as a parent, discipline does not equate just equaling punishment. Many times you think that child needs to be disciplined. But when you think of an athlete who is strong, who is very well, he's very disciplined. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Private school is more disciplined as opposed to public school.
Sometimes. I mean, I went to a private school. Yeah. And actually, it really is when it comes to educational styles and so on. But the main thing is, as a parent, we have to be, first of all, disciplined.
Disciplined.
In our parenting. Can't be lazy. You have to be proactive. But here's what I mean by discipline. 90% of discipline with our children is training discipline. 10% will be corrective discipline, which is sometimes people call punishment, for example. So the training discipline is like when we're the coach or that third C. We're cheerleading them. We're showing them how to offer salat. We're having different discussions with them. We're picking their brains and asking questions. Because when you ask questions, you have to listen. As opposed to, don't do this, can't do that. But now your child knows what you want to hear, not want to hear, and can avoid you and give you what you want in this space, while out in public they have a whole different face. Okay, so training discipline. But when we get to corrective discipline, here's the challenge. There are different ways to do it. Now, sometimes, you know, I'm sure you've seen at the masjid, children just running around wild, acting like they have no home training, parents not doing anything about it, and so on. Match can be a, there can be a time and a place for playing and wrestling and so on. It's like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. You know, the masjid, they should be raised around the masjid. However, there's a code of conduct and etiquette that must go along with it. So when people ask me about discipline, say, you know, one of the first things I do, for example, my children, that is effective, is a stare. It could be someone's not acting right and I get their attention, I just do a stare. Let them know, get in line, settle down, relax. Behave properly or appropriately. Next level may be raising your voice. You know, because if I'm talking with you, I'm Eddie. Now, of course, I don't have any sons or anything named Eddie, but just raising a voice to get their attention. Now, if you're always yelling and screaming, do the opposite. Because when you get quiet, if you're a screamer and you get quiet as a mother, and I'm kind of saying this a lot of times, the ladies yell or they might go off, is to be quiet. Change your physiology. Do something different. Change your pattern. The children are familiar with their pattern. Oh, mom's just yelling again. But now mom's getting quiet. Now it must be serious. So you might raise your voice. You can elevate it all the way. And one of the things I really like is conditioning. So whether doing burpees or push-ups, and you know, being in mixed martial arts, that many times when you're straining your body's concentrating, this lactic acid is building up, then their brain has more time to concentrate. Now, so now you can speak with a child that might be in a horse position, in a kung fu horse position, or push-up position, or after getting done with some burpees and they're really breathing, you're conditioning and strengthening their body while you're trying to get through to their mind. All the way to the point of people say, of spanking. Now, here's a challenge. Some people say, oh, no, you shouldn't spank at Islam. You shouldn't have physical thumb. Now, there is a such thing as abuse. I was abused as a child. You know, I was physically abused as a child. And when I was a child, I said, you know, when I get older, I'll never whoop my children and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, that's out the window. There's a time and a place for it when something is an intentional, totally disrespectful, way out of order and so on. And that's to be something to get them back in line. There's a time and a place for that. And the reason I say there's a time and place for that, because the Prophet ﷺ said, teach your children to pray at 7. If not, then to hit them at 10. You know, so some people say translate it as hit them or spank them, or some say beat them. I don't like the word beat because specifically in English, beat has a whole different definition, okay, than maybe someone who's a foreigner. But there are these different stages, and the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't allow something or say something that, even though he may not have practiced it, that wouldn't be allowed, okay? Very, very important. But that's extreme cases because you can quickly and easily abuse and go above and beyond the authority you have as a parent, and all of a sudden now you have to answer to Allah Ta'ala for that. You have to answer to Allah's trust why that's abused. How did you abuse that when I sent the perfect example, the Prophet ﷺ, to deal with it? Now, the difference is when we were raised 30 years ago, 20 years ago, this technology wasn't the same as it is today. 100 years ago even, I mean, from not flying in planes or having new planes and before color TVs, what technology has allowed this world, people say many times, the world is a village now. You can get stuff at your fingertips, which is so true. So we have to ingrain our Islamic personality in our children so that we can have this bond of trust with them. One of the ways, of course, is to understand discipline. The other is to start young. We ask questions. We look at people like Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam before he was 10 years old, and how these people were treated as men, as early teens. And the Prophet ﷺ regularly accepted a man at 15 years old to go on fighting different battles. We think of 15-year-olds today, and they're like big kids. So there's not really a rites of passage program. So what we've done, without saying Muslim parents, of course, we wrote it in the book, Muslims Parenting on Purpose, and in different products to really just share specific strategies when it comes to building men who are masculine, who are at the same time working towards being providers. And they're looking at examples of heroes. You have these companions, these Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, wa ajma'in. You have so many different examples of people who would be considered legendary. If they just take one of these companions and put it in a movie, it'd be like a legend, where they have to really go so far and make up and embellish so many stories in general Hollywood, I'm talking about, to have this one big heroic fictional story like the William Wallace Braveheart movie. People loved it, but it was mostly fiction. Where you can look at what we did in Islam, like Sultan Muhammad al-Fat and so on, to really help build this Islamic character in our children and to strive for it. But we have to be proud of it first as parents. We can't hide our Islam or hide our deen, because ultimately we all are going to return to Allah Ta'ala. Mm-hmm. So seeking dunya is permissible, but don't trade that for your akhirah. As Allah Ta'ala tells us, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. You know, very, very crucial.
Yeah, so we talked about these different aspects. Another thing, we got to go, but I just watched a very, very good documentary I really recommend, because another thing that also doesn't help is the kind of diet that the kids are. Obesity is on the rise. Fed Up. Have you seen this documentary?
Actually, Fed Up? I just watched it 2 days ago.
And we're feeding our children poison, basically.
Absolutely.
And this is affecting them, you know, not only physically, mentally, and this is another thing that we need to get up on also, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there are several documentaries. I mean, Living on a Dollar a Day to help us be grateful to see how people...
What's it called?
Living on a Dollar a Day.
Okay.
You know, most of the world, actually, I think it's about 60% of the world earns less than $2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So to teach gratefulness to
gratefulness,
our children,
yes.
You know, very, very important. Of course, Fed Up, of course, with parenting and what we're doing to our children, mm-hmm. unknowingly and unwittingly with these processed foods. You have the Gerson miracle when it comes to eating naturally and actually being healthy. You have, there's so many that are beneficial. And we must remember, the Prophet said that there are two things that we waste more than anything else, health and spare time.
And all of these are components now to live a good, wholesome, successful life. And what you are also doing, how can people now, we gave them a little taste to nip it in the bud, but how can people get a hold of you and also get some of this
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. What I want to do for all Dean Show viewers, first off, is here's my book called Muslims Parenting on Purpose. And what I want to do is give all of your viewers the opportunity to get it for free. Now, it normally retails at $17.95 in Barnes & Noble and numerous bookstores. And what I'll do is if you go to outstandingmuslimparents.tv/Dean Show, I will give it to you for free. You just have to pay shipping. So anywhere in the world, you just have to go ahead and pay shipping. And I'll send you the book where we go through the three C's and a lot of parenting tips. And at the same time, we have an audio program as well for those who may drive a lot or want to just go ahead and put it on their smartphone or tablet. It's a 6-CD course that we get deep into as well. And of course, any Dean Show individual will put whatever discounts. We have a 6-week course where we created a television show, went through an entire season for a television show on parenting specifically. Mm-hmm. And so we address a number of different things and then we go deep, whether it be dealing with music and entertainment, when it's dealing with discipline and sports and history and really building culture in our children. And that's called a 6-week outstanding parenting home study course. We have it on DVD as well as online. But one of the best ways to get in contact with us is outstandingmuslimparents.tv or, of course, watch the Dean Show and get their special link so I can send you something for free, inshallah.
Thank you very much for being with us. Wayaku, thank you. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning into the Dean Show. These are great reminders for everybody, including myself, you know, having children. And then we all just get caught up into the different activities that we're doing, work and business and many of the priorities that we have in our lives. But as the hadith that is, you know, very important, our guest had mentioned, that the things that we leave behind, because we're going to leave this dunya behind, and one of them, skipping to the third, is a righteous child. So to go ahead and prevent, as I open up the show with the extreme examples of the suicide rates amongst children, the depression, and some of these celebrities that people are imitating, them going to the top, but then plummeting down, way to the bottom. And then our guests, they are giving some great examples now of children just going towards drugs and alcohol and ending up in jail. So now if we invest in this priceless investment now, we get reminded from the program, we can go back, have a great communication, not abusing our children, no, but communicating, being the celebrity, us being the celebrity role models in their lives and doing things the proper way so they can be an asset to society. They can grow to be positive, good human beings and make a difference in the world. Subscribe if you haven't already to The Dean Show. Now you can join us also on the Instagram. Share our shows, follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.